Marketers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 194, and we are live on YouTube again, doing the whole live streaming thing. I think it's worked out pretty well, so we're going to keep on doing it. This episode, as always, is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us, you know, gives us a little kickback and helps the podcast keep on going. With me this week, I have a new co-host. It is Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. New live co-host, anyways.
Yeah, I've been live on a few times. Yeah, you have been on a few times, but sure. It's your first time being live, and it's pretty interesting. Like I said, I like the whole live streaming thing. It's it just brings a whole, it's a whole different dynamic, and it's a lot of fun, I think. So
yeah, no, I really enjoy the format quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, it makes things much easier, and it makes things more visual for us, which I think is a good thing. It just allows us to show you more. So we will start out with our reviews this week. And I took a look at this product right here, which is AMD's Ryzen 5 3400G. This is an APU, which means it has CPU and graphics all on one chip. So essentially, you don't need a graphics card. And AMD has had APUs for quite a long time. And they were just, and Intel has had integrated graphics for a long time too, but I've used them in the past, and it's always been something where I'm like, it just never worked. It never worked for me. It was never something that made it worth it, or even was like, this is something that I could potentially use until I save up for a graphics card. It was never to that point, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, outside of some real basic like flash games, browser games, watching some HD YouTube, I know a little bit back in the day, like when I'm thinking League of Legends, when it first came out, I know we'd play it at work on integrated graphics and it'd be okay. But you had to lower things down quite a bit, turn all the effects off. And yeah, they just have really not been there. And I think you found that was a little different with this CPU, right?
Yeah. So this, while this is a like a Ryzen, you know, it's a 3400, so it's a 3000 series product. It's actually a second gen Ryzen chip in here. So it's 12 nanometer. It's not 7 nanometer like all the other new Ryzen chips, but it's it's Zen plus Vega graphics. So it's not the new Navi graphics either. So you have Vega 11 graphics in here, plus the Zen Plus CPU. And in my testing, it's like, it's a great chip. Like it really is. 1080p. The biggest thing where for me, I wasn't so much focused on the CPU side. Well, we will talk about that. The integrated graphics was the big thing. So I was like, can I actually play video games with this, with it? Like that was a big thing. And can it be usable? Because again, in the past, it was never usable. So my biggest thing was seeing if it was usable. And I played a ton of like the most popular esports titles, Fortnite, Apex Legends, Dota 2. What else did I play? I played a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, quite a few games on your list, really.
Yeah, yeah. I played a lot of games. And the big thing for me was it wasn't playable. Like, you know, obviously, like I captured frame rates and stuff like that, you know, as you can see here. But the thing that really stood out was like, can I actually play it? Like, is it something that I can sit there and actually enjoy playing? And I really could. If you look at 1080p here, you know, on our lowest, like Apex Legends, which is a very new game, you know, right around 40 FPS at 1080p, that's still very playable. I would say 40 to 60 is very playable. As you get over 60, it's even more enjoyable. But I was playing Apex Legends. I was getting kills. I actually won a game playing on the APU, which was kind of fun. You know, but if you look at the other titles too, like Counter-Strike Go, one of the most popular games still, you're getting almost 60 FPS at 1080p. Dota 2, you're all the way up to 82. Fortnite 63, Rocket League 53. And we had to turn some of the settings down, but it was still very, very playable. And I think that's the big thing here. If you go down to 720p, which again, if you're looking to, you know, save money and buy a lower end product like this, you might not even have a 1080p monitor. So if you're looking at 720p, you're over 70 FPS in all of the titles, and it's super playable. I think this is just a great product. For one, for me, it screams family PC. Like, it really does. Yeah. We've all done it. We've all built a family PC for a relative. At least I have multiple times. And, you know, CPU plus buying even a cheap graphics card, like, this is the way to go. I think it's so much easier. And with this, you could really put together a decent system, B450 motherboard, DDR4, you know, a cheap SSD. You could have you could be up and running, you know, like $300-$500 bucks, with everything all together, which I think is really, really great. On the CPU side of things, it's still a good processor as well. It's going to handle pretty much everything you throw at it that most normal average people would. That's like a ton of Chrome tabs, you know, light video and photo editing, things like that. You're not going to have a problem with the CPU either. It's just a great product. And I think it's 150.
I think it was 150, 149 maybe. What I was really impressed with was the power consumption, especially your idle and load. Idle was like 2 watts and load was almost 15. That makes me want to like consider this for, you know, a possible upcoming build for a bit of a home server NAS type box, or something similar that can run Plex and then transcode some videos, right?
Power. That's the thing too. So beyond gaming, the Vega 11 graphics will do all of your, you know, HD, like you said, HD YouTube stuff. It will do all that stuff that you would typically need a dedicated graphics card to do. So again, you know, home theater PC, things like that is great. But yeah, if you look at the power consumption, I mean, compared to more mainstream processors, 2 watts during idle, 14.8 during load. I mean, That's
pretty impressive. I mean, the temperatures kind of go along with that. Not so much of a drastic difference, but definitely on the lower side of your graphs as well.
Yeah. So it's like I said, it's $144.99 right now. Uh-huh. I think that, again, family PC, home theater PC, something where you're not playing AAA titles at over 1080p, and you obviously, you know, it's just something that you could put together a computer. Very low cost, works out really well. Again, the power consumption is just a really great product. You know, the only thing that we're waiting for is we're waiting for the Zen 2 architecture and we're waiting for Navi graphics in an APU, which hopefully will be coming soon. And you'll see with that, you'll see better CPU performance and you'll see better, you know, GPU performance when that comes. So hopefully that will be coming soon.
Sure.
Like I said, it changed my mind because that was the biggest thing. Is like when they sent me this, I was like,
eh.
Yeah, really? I was just like, you know, because in the past I have reviewed products and I've had used products with integrated graphics and they were never that great. They just were not. Like, it's just, you know, so it really changed my mind and it made me, you know, recommend this. Like, I would recommend it.
Sure.
Does
it feel weird, doing the build and not putting a graphics card into the build and like hooking up your HDMI to the motherboard?
It was a little odd at the time, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like I said, it just worked out. Like I said, it was weird not putting a graphics card in there, but you know, it just worked. Like I said, you just plug it in, it works and you're good to go. I was very impressed and it just changed my mind. And that's kind of the whole thing with my review was it changed my mind on APUs. And I think that going forward, as we get into, again, hopefully we will see a 7-nanometer product with Zen 2 architecture and Navi graphics, and that's going to make things go even further.
Yep.
So you took a look at a product. I wouldn't say it's as cool, but it's a cool product. You've been doing a lot of microphone reviews, and you took a look at the Samsung G-Track Pro. So tell us a little bit about this microphone, maybe how it's different from some of the other microphones that you reviewed, and everything like that.
Sure. So yeah, the Samsung G-Track Pro here. It's kind of unique. When you first look at it, you're like, okay, it's a microphone. It looks like it has some, volume and gain dials, USB connectivity, things like that. But it's actually kind of three products in one. You have your microphone. It is a comes with three polar patterns. So you have your what they call or label figure eight, which really is kind of your bidirectional. Then you have a cardioid pattern and an omnidirectional pattern, 360 degrees. So you have your microphone there, and you have the option to kind of, well, I'll get into that in a second. You also have some audio interfaces on the back. So you have your monitoring jack here for your headphones, and then you have a quarter inch input, like for a guitar or some sort of instrument. And that allows you to kind of mix the audio signals, and there's a switch on the front of the microphone as well on the body for mono and two track up at the top here. So that allows you to kind of either record audio from, you know, singing, whatever the case may be, and your instrument or audio device in a single track on mono, or you can split it off so that they're separate audio tracks on two track for later mixing and editing, things like that. And then there's also your, you know, your gain for your microphone, for your instrument, and then also volume control for the no latency monitoring of the audio going into the microphone. So that way you can kind of hear with headphones what's actually going through the microphone. It's got USB connectivity, so super easy to plug and play. No drivers required. It's a simple plug-in, and you're off to the races. I really found it, the audio quality, to be really nice. Definitely a step up over headset microphones. Your audio quality, you know, it's going to get the bass a lot better. Just better tone, a lot warmer sounds. A lot of times the microphones you get on a headset are kind of tinny, and just that you can just tell a difference, an immediate difference between a studio microphone or a dedicated microphone as compared to a headset. So it's also really robust. I mean, this thing weighs, I think, almost 4 pounds with the bass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's solid. It's a cast zinc, die-cast zinc body. It has a really solid bass as well. Offers some tilting for you. So depending on how you're using it, you can kind of angle it to your needs. It's a really hefty bass with a nice foam bottom to keep it in place. The one thing I don't like is that it's not compatible with standard microphone arms. So while the microphone can come out of the kind of cradle stand itself, you have to use their specific shock mount to mount it onto a microphone arm. So if I wanted to use this microphone on this arm right here, I would have to buy their shock mount and then mount it there. So it's an extra $30 for that piece. Nothing too crazy, but some of the disadvantages of that, this style of microphone, is it's on my desk. So it's in one spot. If I have it, if I'm like a streamer or something, and I have it behind my keyboard to keep it out of the way, I'm going to pick up some of that sound from my keyboard and my mouse. Yeah. If I put it in front of my keyboard and mouse to kind of reduce some of that, well, now it's in the way of my keyboard and makes it harder to game. So other than that, though, I think it's a really decent microphone and unit altogether. You consider the fact that it's mixing in a couple items there. It's got your gain and that sort of functionality. You're really getting a couple products in one, and it gets you up and going right away, as opposed to having a separate multiple I guess audio interfaces.
Yeah, so like for me, I have this mic. It's an XLR mic that, yep, I plug into an audio interface. I had to buy the mic, and I had, there was just the mic, and then I had to buy the mic stand, I had to buy the cables, and I had to buy the audio interface. So yeah, I mean, that all adds up. I think the mic by its, just the mic was, I think, 100, and I think the audio interface was 100, and then the cables was like another 20 or 30, and then you have like the all this other stuff. So yeah, I mean, it all does add up. I do like the fact that it's an audio interface. It's one thing that I really took from your review, because like, as not, maybe not for us, like as streamers and stuff,
yeah,
but yeah, people who are recording other things, or, you know, you say you do have a podcast, but then you have like a live guest come in, like you could hook another microphone up to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's, you don't have to buy another, like you don't have to buy something else. You like, if
a multi-channel mixer or anything like that.
You wouldn't have to do that. It's all in one, and it's USB, which I love. See, mine's, well, my audio interface is, but my mic's not. So yeah, it solves a lot of problems. It makes things really easy, I think. How much is it?
Oh, no, I don't even know. I think it was, of course, I just wrote the review and then.
Yeah, it is it's 129, which I don't think is that bad at all for what
you when you add in those, you know, the multiple functions of it, right? You've got your mixer and your inputs. And like you said, I think it'd be great for someone that maybe is, you hook up like your acoustic guitar or something to it, and you just get that clean signal from the guitar into whatever, you know, software you're recording via the microphone, and you can make some real quick adjustments on the microphone and have the ability to split those audio tracks out. So if you're singing along with it, you can have it on the two track setting, and now you've got two track audio tracks right there. So you can split them out and edit them independently, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I think like maybe somebody who's a musician or something like that, or, you know, like I said, for interviews, I think it'd be great. And for $129, that's really not expensive for what you're getting in the product. So so definitely check out Ryan's review. One thing I didn't mention, as what I should, is you guys can go ahead and follow along with us. We have our show notes that are already live on the website. So we have that in the description, so you guys can go ahead and check that out. But that will bring us to Case Mod Friday, which is every Friday. We, of course, feature a case mod or build. And this week we have one that is from 2016. But I had a feature because I never saw it before, and it really caught my attention. It's from Ali Abbas. I think it's how you say his name. If it's wrong, I'm sorry. And he does a lot of these like really cool scratch builds, like made to look like something else. As I said, we featured some of his builds in the past. And this one is it's called Armageddon, the Sum of All Fears, and it's made. It's a custom made desk with a PC built inside, has some really cool things. One, if you can see this photo right here, the monitors actually go down, and which is really, really cool. I think the monitors go down and up, all that kind of cool stuff. The keyboard comes up. I wish we had a video of it, because we don't, but just the craftsmanship of like the desk, like imagine this being your desk, like how cool would that be?
I appreciate like the custom work and like the effort, like there's no way I could do any of this. These builds aren't my favorite usually, but I it's cool, just not my style. I can't even imagine like the amount of time it would have taken to build this.
It looks like something from a movie set.
I could definitely see it in a movie.
You can see the PC back here, custom water cooling and things like that. And I love that, like, again, we can't see it, but you know, this section right here goes up and down. Mm-hmm. It's motorized, which is really cool.
And they've got those little speaker pods there that they kind of built into the system as well.
Yeah, and this comes up and down as well. This is like USB ports and the fan controller. Just really cool. Like, he does really great work. He has so many great builds. I think this is a webcam right here. That's just the craftsmanship in this one is just amazing. Here's a close-up shot of the actual system that's in there. And everything like that, even a card reader up there and everything like
that. Was that like a voltmeter or a temperature gauge or something that blew?
Sure. Not specifically sure. There might be a video on this. I know he did an interview where he was building it at the time. But this, he said that this took him 2,500 hours over 4 years to build. So this is not something that he did in a weekend. Like I said, just the craftsmanship of it is just pretty, it's just really impressive.
Where are you gonna put that too? Like you like build it in your shop and then it's too big to get through your doorway or something.
Yeah. And to ship this thing, and I assume this has been at some computer shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, can you even break it down?
It looks pretty solid to me.
Yeah, I mean, I know like the screens go down and stuff, but like how do you
ship the legs this? Come off? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I love these type of builds because they don't specifically look like a computer.
Yeah,
I would say, you know what I mean. Yeah. Just really, really cool build. If you're into that kind of stuff, definitely check it out. But we always, like I said, we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So if you're looking for inspiration for a build, or just want to see what people can create with, you know, PC hardware, definitely check out our Case Mod Friday section. We have a ton of stuff on there. And we'll go to our video this week. So we've been, like I said, we've been trying to put out videos each week, and you can see me on there. And I took a look at Asus's Prime X570 Pro motherboard. I reviewed it a couple weeks ago, and I finally put out my video on it. This is just a solid board for X570. Asus's Prime series has always been really, really good, in my opinion. And the X570 or the Prime X570 Pro is no exception. I'm not going to go over it in full detail because this is a video and I'd like you guys to watch it. But they brought a lot of features down from their higher-end motherboards to the Prime series, and it's just a great value for what you are getting. So definitely check that video out. And then,
do you remember what the price on that board is? Sorry, I know I'm just throwing you're
making
you.
Making me open more stuff, but it's okay. Let's. I have. We can open it on Amazon. It is $239.99.
Okay.
Which seems expensive for a motherboard, but you guys have to remember.
I know X570 is just that shift and change. I'm still adjusting to it as well.
Yeah. So $239, which is a little less expensive than other boards out there, I would say. But the only thing it doesn't have that the other boards, like most of the other boards that were reviewed, were like $270 to like $329 of the X570s. The only thing it really does not have is Wi-Fi. So all the other boards that were reviewed had the new 802.11ax or Wi-Fi 6. It doesn't have that, but I think that a lot of people don't even use the Wi-Fi.
If you're gaming, like you're 99% of the time you're going to want to be plugged in. So
yeah. Besides that, like I said, definitely check out that video. But we are still running our contest. So we are giving away an AlphaCool Ice Bear Extreme. This is one really awesome all-in-one liquid cooling CPU cooler. There are 4 days left. So definitely get your entry in for this. Super easy to enter. You can see there's a ton of different ways to go ahead and enter as well. There's just a bunch of different ways to enter. So definitely get your entry in and everything like that. Just super easy to enter. You don't have to do it. There's no entry fee or anything. It's just super easy to enter. And there's a ton of different ways to enter, and you can get a ton. You can see what all these are worth. So, and everything like that. So definitely get your entry in. 4 days left. And then we'll be doing another contest coming up. So I'm super excited for that as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. 2 good products from one company, will be giving them away. So
cool.
Stay tuned for all of that. And that will bring us to our news for the week, and kind of a busy week with a bunch of different things. We'll start off with our graphics card news. And the big thing this week is that AMD introduced their RX 5500 series graphics cards. So we had the 5700 and 5700 XT, kind of like the mid higher. I don't know what you would call
it. I think mid range.
Yeah, it would be the mid range. This is more of like the lower end, kind of like 1080p on normal settings, I would say, for these cards. So they announced both their desktop version and the mobile version. MSI's Alpha 15 was actually the first laptop to be powered by the 5500M. I think this card is good. I think that, again, the 5700 and 5700 XT, it's there, but it's like NVIDIA has a whole lineup, and just to see AMD,
right,
they're slowly releasing these, which is good. And just to have more competition, to have more of a price battle, like there is another choice in the lower end now. And I think that's a good thing. I think that,
I mean, you're so used to seeing like those, you know, 1600 series in laptops and just in those PCs that you see at Best Buy or something like that, where it's always a NVIDIA card in there or something similar. I think you're going to start seeing this 5500 series card show up in a lot of places, especially OEM builds. But not to say that you're not going to find it in do it yourself builds as well, as a low price option.
Yeah. So just to go over it really quickly, I'll just go over the desktop, because that's what I'm sure most of you guys are, you know, really interested in. 22 compute units, 1408 stream processors, 8 gigabytes of it's GDDR6. That's kind of the big
thing.
That's
really nice too.
Yep. So you have the newer memory there. Base clock of 1707. Wait, no, game clock. Sorry. The game clock is 1717 megahertz. And then the boost clock was 1845. So that's the highest it will boost. Of course, there should be a bunch of add-in board partner cards. So you'll have a bunch to choose from. So like I said, I like that we have options. Even if you're not an AMD fan and you're always going to go NVIDIA, it's good to say, okay, in this price range, here's an AMD card, here's an NVIDIA card, here are the prices, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, it looks like in November. So you're going to have systems from HP's Omen line, their Pavilion gaming desktops, some Lenovo systems, an Acer PC. Again, you're just going to see a ton of OEM builds with this in there. So I think that'll be nice to have some variety and choices in the market.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just going to, again, just give you a choice. I think that's the biggest thing. That's what I take out of it. It just gives you a choice and everything like that. But then we'll move over to CPU stuff. And Intel announced their 10th gen Core X series. This is their high-end desktop parts. And the big thing that I love about this is they finally brought pricing back to normal.
Yes. Which, you know, you feel horrible for everybody that bought previous systems, and
yeah,
now so these prices have dropped so much. But
the past two generations of high-end desktop parts from Intel were ridiculously expensive, almost around $2,000 for their highest end part. Yep. Which just for the longest time, probably for the past 10 years, for the highest end part from Intel was $1,000. Like, you knew if you were buying or building a high-end desktop system and you wanted the best chip Intel could put out there, it's going to be $1,000. And then the past two generations, it was like doubled in price. And it was like, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
And it made systems even more expensive. But now, if you look at it, their highest end part, which is the Core i9 1090, or, geez, I hate
this. I know. It's such a mess.
10980. 10980XE, this is their 8-core, 36-thread part, is $979. That's so great. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Going back, it just, you know, I think this has a lot to do with AMD putting out high core count chips at lower cost. This brings it back to normal. The next part down is the 10940X. For $784, and then you have the 10920X at $689, and then the 10900X at $590. And you can see all the specs for each one. Starting at 10 cores and going up to 18, nothing higher than that. I don't think we're gonna see that until we get the process node down.
What do you think of that TDP? 165 watts?
Yeah, that's pretty normal.
That's up there, you think so?
That's normal for high-end desktop. I think Threadrippers are 165 as well. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So like I said, the biggest takeaway I see from this is just lower prices. It makes it more affordable to go high-end desktop too. I know a lot of people who back in the day, they were always, you know, like our mainstream parts, like our i9-9900K and things like that. They were considering going to high-end desktop. And then when Intel made that just leap in price, they stuck to the mainstream. But now a lot more people are going to be able to go the high-end desktop route if they want to, just because it's basically half the price.
Yeah.
And all that.
A more viable option now.
Yeah, for sure. Just a lot, like I said, just saves you money. And again, I feel bad for the people who last generation spent $2,000 on a part that's, you're getting a better part for half the price.
Yep. Yeah, buyer's remorse there for sure.
Yeah, it's just a little odd, but hopefully they keep the pricing the same, and you know, and it just, like I said, it stays the same. So that brings us to AMD, and they quietly really announced two products. One we talked about last week. It's the AMD Ryzen 9 3900, and they also released a Ryzen 5 3500X. the Ryzen 9 3900 is a really great part, in my opinion. 12 core, 24 thread, base clock of 3.1 gigahertz and boosts up to 4.3 gigahertz. It's a little bit stepped down as far as clocks from the 3900X, but it only has a TDP of 65 watts.
Yeah.
Compared to
40 watts less.
Yeah, 40 watts less. This is such a good part, I think, for so many people who want, you know, good core counts and everything like that. They're not going to overclock. They're not really, they just want to plug it in and use it.
Yep.
And not mess with anything else. I think that's great. But the sad thing is I'm almost 100% positive that this is OEM only. So you'll see this in, you know, maybe gaming centric builds from OEMs, or more like business type builds,
workstations,
workstation, things like that, which is kind of sad because I do think that this is a really great part for a lot of people.
You know, I mean, I've got an 1800X, and you know, that X with your additional overclocking capabilities, I'm just a person that buys that X part and then never overclocks it. So I'm just one of those. So this is like a great part for people like me.
Yeah. So they have that part. No word on pricing on that either. But the Ryzen 5 3500X is basically, like I said, a big brother to the Ryzen 5 3500. 6-core, 12 thread. It does feature AMD's SMT technology. And it's clocked at 3.6 gigahertz for base, and it will boost to 4.1 gigahertz, which is only 100 megahertz difference from the 3600, which is out there as well. So, but again, OEM, so we're not going to get it anyways, which is kind of crappy. It's going to be priced around 189, but we won't be able to get it. I really wish that they would just make these parts available to everybody. It would just make things better, I think. Yeah, so kind of like
that's a lot of SKUs, though. I mean, you think about all the processors that are available out there.
Maybe. Yeah, but I think, especially that 3900, that's just really, I think that's such a great part for a lot of people. And it's just, you won't be able to get it unless you buy a pre-built, which not a lot of people want to do. So, also talking about processors and things like that, Threadripper 3 is coming up. I know a lot of people are excited about it. And supposedly, we heard rumors before that there's going to be three platforms or three chipsets. There'll be a TRX 40, a TRX 80, and a WRX 80. WRX, like the car,
yeah.
I guess. MSI is running a program or a rebate thing where you'll get a $25 gift card or $25 Steam gift card if you buy a certain product. And weirdly, under their motherboard section, they have a Creator TRX 40, which basically tells us that there is going to be
something coming.
There is going to be TRX. There is going to be these TRX chipsets, and TRX 40 is going to be one. So basically, more or less confirms it. I always think, because there's always so much AMD news, I always think they're like, "Hey, MSI, just put this out there. Somebody will see it." Because it's like they're just. Like, how do you mess this up? Like, how do you put this in here when the product's not even
right? Anymore? Yeah, when you're reviewing your stuff. Yeah, how's that slide past editing?
Yeah, so it's going to happen. The board is their Creator TRX 40. The Creator series from MSI is like, it launched on their X299 boards. There's an X299 Creator. So it should be a pretty nice board. The TRX 40 will be the lower end of the Threadripper 3 chipsets. It falls below the TRX 80 and the WRX 80. We don't know a whole lot of information on these, so I won't go into that. But as we learn more about these, we'll tell you more. But still, you know, like I said, it's good to know that it is there, and we will have options when it comes to Threadripper 3, which is a good thing, I think. Okay. So yeah, and on to another AMD story. It seems like there's a lot of these. AMD and Microsoft announced a 15-inch Microsoft Surface Laptop 3. So there will be. This is not like the Surface 3 is not all AMD. there will be a Surface 3 SKU that is powered by a Ryzen processor,
right,
which I think is a big deal. And we talked about on the podcast before, is because since Surface's inception, it was all Intel.
Right.
All Intel parts and everything like that. And now you see an AMD part there. And one, that's just great for PR for AMD. But two, I think that's a really big customer base that they're selling to. You know, it's a big customer for them, and I think it's great for their stock price and things like that. And I just think that it's just AMD is just doing good stuff right now. And for to get Microsoft to even consider using that part in a SKU in a one of their flagship flagship laptops, that's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you think Microsoft does partner with AMD on, you know, on the Xbox and everything, so they've got a little bit of that relationship. But you're right, you know, Surface line has been Intel the whole way, the whole time. I think it's a good, hopefully a good move, right? And I don't know, brings about more options in the future.
Yeah, it's just like I said, and if the performance of this, which we haven't seen any reviews out yet, but if the performance of this specific SKU is good, and it's good compared to the Intel part, and I don't know the price difference if there is one, we'll have to see that. But I think that if that is the case, it's just a win-win for AMD on that, for sure.
One thing you didn't I want to touch on real quick were a couple of the other Surface devices that I was really excited about. The Surface Neo, I don't know if you saw that. It was kind of like tablet sized type of device. Had some really cool dual screen functionality, especially when you brought the keyboard into play and some of the features it had. And then the Surface Duo, I never thought I would say I was interested in a like Surface phone or a phone from Microsoft, but I think that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So this...
yeah, so that's the Duo there, right? Or yeah,
that's the
Neo. Yeah, that's the Duo.
Okay, that's the Duo.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw after...
Or wait, maybe that was the Neo.
Yeah, this is the Neo. So this is the phone.
Yep.
This is a phone. So they kind of did like the fold, but there's not an actually folding screen. It's right, just it's got two screens. And then this is the Duo.
The Neo.
The
Neo. No,
is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Neo is the larger one.
Yeah. So if you look at that, I mean, that's really interesting. And how
that keyboard, right? That second screen there, and being able to either, you know, drop in a map or just slide things around. The video really showed off some cool use cases, I think.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like I saw a lot of articles were like, Microsoft is the new Apple, because Apple used to innovate. They really don't anymore. And like this product is very different, and it makes you rethink how you use a device like this, right?
Yep.
And I think that's really cool. And especially like even on the phone side of things, it's interesting too, because Microsoft had their mobile operating system, which they completely killed. And this is an Android phone now, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, it's like I said, I think it's really cool. I'd have to use one to see how this would all work together. Can I be my biggest thing when I'm looking at laptops or mobile devices is, can I be productive on this?
Right.
Is it, you know, it's going to take some time to get used to using it, but is it productive, or can I be productive on it? And these look cool. I love to play around with one. I think the mall by me actually has like a Microsoft. It's like a kiosk.
Oh, okay.
But it's not an actual store, but it's a kiosk, and I think they'll have these. I'll have to play around.
I bet.
And just see. You know,
sorry not to take us too far off track.
No, that's fine, because I think it is really cool. I just like before I can really say anything, I'd have to play with it. I mean, it's like any device, you really have to play with it. It looks awesome. The both products look really good. From everybody that I've talked to that's owned a Surface, they love it.
I have the original Surface Pro still. I've, you know, had it for 5-6 years now or something like that. And I don't use it hardly ever. When I did use it, I loved it because it was so compact, and just throw it in a bag and take it back out. It was quick. It still performs really well. I mean, I keep it up to date, and it performs awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Like I said, everything I've heard about Surfaces are great. So I think Yeah, next time I go to the mall, I'm gonna have to just see if they have these and see if I can kind of play with them for a little bit and you know, see what they're all about. But talking about another way to look at PCs or how things are different. Intel had an event in London and they showed off a modular PC concept where basically you have these cards. This is like a PC on a card, basically. And the whole idea is that they're basically PCI Express cards.
Yep.
And they would go into a backplane, which would essentially be like a motherboard, but without the CPU. So you just have like a board that has a bunch of PCI Express slots. And you would plug in these different modules. So this one has your processor. Actually, this one has a lot of... So this one has your processor. It has M.2 slots. It has SODIMM DDR4 slots. It has a Xeon processor in there. And everything. It has Wi-Fi. It's all built in. So you can see it's basically like a mini computer that you plug into a backplane and... it's your PC. And then you'd have other ones that would add more functionality. So you would have one that would essentially would be a GPU. You'd have another one that might be a storage one that would have even more M.2 slots or SATA ports with hard drives or whatever. And the whole idea behind this concept is that it's easier. It would be easier to upgrade components. It would be easier to get new features because you could just plug them in, rather than having to buy a whole new motherboard and everything like that. Because essentially, if, obviously we're moving to PCI Express 4.0, but when that happens, that technology is going to be there for multiple generations. It's not going to change necessarily over a long time. So if you need to upgrade your CPU, you just take out one of these cards and put a new CPU in. If you need to upgrade something else and add new features, you want to add, say, like Wi-Fi 6, that's a newer technology. You just get one of these cards and plug it in and you're good to go. You don't need to do anything else. Because for us on the desktop side, if we want Wi-Fi 6, we have to buy a brand new motherboard that has it. You could do that, but I guess their whole idea is just to make things easier. I see this more on like a supercomputer level than like a user level.
I'm having a tough time buying it. At first I was like, oh, this is cool, and then I thought, wait, like if I want to swap out components, I'm just going to swap my components. I don't know. I'm having a tough time buying into it, honestly.
The only thing I could see this being a good thing for, like if it is on the, like on our side, like the desktop user side, would be like for new features. Like with X570, we got these new features.
Yeah.
That weren't available on, going from, like especially like when we went from USB 2.0 to USB 3.0. Like getting those specific features is what I would want. But again, those new features only come around.
They only come out so often. And you'd be ready to update your whole system anyways. So
yeah, so I can see this on like a supercomputer side where you have a massive backplane with like 30 slots where you slot in 30 Xeons to do a task.
Yeah.
I don't see this on a desktop user side.
Maybe they've got some great idea and we just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on it though.
This would make the PC smaller, but again, then you run into heat with this too. This is done by the same team that does the Intel NUX, which I think are great products. This is all prototype. Even the name, the Element, the elements, Intel Element, that's still up for debate. This is all prototype. I like that Intel's rethinking the desktop, maybe. I mean, I don't see that it, I don't, like, I'm looking at my computer over here and I'm like, is it really that bad that we need to change it?
Right.
I think that this would make the desktop smaller, and I think there might be certain applications where that would be a good thing, but I just don't see it on the desktop side. Like, I just don't see me replacing my awesome looking desktop here with like a backplane thing, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I just can't wrap my head around it. I need to see it
further along, or give me some examples of how it would be used.
I can see it in a data center scenario for sure, or like power,
sure, kind of like blades in a, you know, a server chassis or something.
Yeah, like I can see that, but for everything else, I just can't. I just can't see it. So we will we'll move on from that one, and we'll talk about some new product launches. Two of them, actually. One, I think that people have been waiting for like ever.
This thing looks amazing.
One, Noctua, I love their coolers. Absolutely love their coolers. And I honestly don't have a problem with their colors. I'll bring up, let's see here. I'll bring up one of their, what their normal colors look like on their coolers. Because some people hate them.
The tan and brown. I used to hate it so much. I've just gotten past it.
So this is the Noctua colors, which, again, I don't hate it. It's a unique color. It's what they've always had. So if you bought a Noctua CPU cooler, these were the fans that you got. And these were the color of the cooler was always the same, as far as like the actual heatsink array and everything like that. So this is what your CPU cooler would look like. But again, not a big deal to me, but for a lot of other people and people trying to build a PC that looks a certain way, so they introduced all black, which I think a lot of people are happy about. I think it looks awesome. I think that if you're doing any type of build most PCBs are black with, you know, so you can add, you can just do a lot with this. So what they've done is they've done it with their NHD 15, which is the one that's actually being shown here. And they've done it with their U12S and their L9i. All three of those will have black versions, and they're $49.90 for the L9i, the U12S is $69.90, and the D15 is $100. And they are coming out with these, I don't know what you want to call that, but they're you can swap out the rubber ends here for different colors. So you have black, blue, green, red, white, and yellow. It's $7 to swap them out. So if you, again, were doing like, say like an MSI build, which would be like red, you could make them red, or like an ROG build, you can make them red. So giving more options to people. I think people have waited for black waited for a different Noctua color for so long.
And they've had some black fans recently. They've had some color options, but
they've had some, but it's not like
this.
Yeah. Where the whole heatsink is black and everything like that. So these, I believe they're available now, and you should be able to pick them up. So if you're looking for an air cooler, I highly recommend Noctua anyways. So definitely check that out. I want to get one into review because I definitely want to check that out for sure. And then, Asus, put out a really interesting product. One that I'd actually want just because I love small portable SSDs. They put out their Republic of Gamers or ROG Strix Arion portable SSD. This is a USB-C, USB 3.2 Gen 2, so super fast SSD, but it's not an actual SSD. It's just the enclosure. So you can go ahead and put an NVMe drive in there. I assume it opens up pretty easily, and you can just slot in an M.2 drive, which gives you the ability to pick the capacity and everything like that that you want. The enclosure, I thought we had the price. I don't know if we have the price. It can't be incredibly expensive. It does have the ROG logo, which I assume lights up when it's powered on, which is funny. Being ROG, it might be a little bit more expensive. We reviewed a couple of these. They're around $30 to $40.
This at the $50 to $60 mark.
Because it's ROG.
Yep.
But I love these just for the fact that you can throw an M.2 drive in here and it's the fastest USB drive you'll ever have. And this one's 3.2 USB, 3.2 Gen 2.
Yep.
So it's not a Gen 1 port, it's Gen 2 port. Super, super fast. You're probably right. I don't think they'll put it up to 70, but I can see. No, them.
With the lighting, the just knowing how ROG, ROG stuff is previously priced, I think it'll have a premium, but
yeah,
it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. So, definitely looking for this on Amazon. Hopefully it's not too expensive, and all of that. And, gaming news. First thing, Red Dead Redemption 2 is finally coming to PC. This is one of the most popular titles for consoles this past year, I guess. A lot of people have been wanting Red Dead Redemption 1 to come to PC, and we haven't seen that. I kind of had an inkling that Rockstar was going to do something because they recently released their Rockstar Games launcher. So they have a launcher now. We have another launcher we have to download. So they announced that a few weeks ago, and then they just announced this. The game will be coming out on PC November 5th. I haven't played
anything. I haven't either. To me, it seems like it's Grand Theft Auto in the Wild Wild West.
Obviously, that's
not 100%. Yeah, I think it's, a cool environment. I may check it out. I don't know. We'll see.
I like the idea of that. I might check it out. But they also, just this past week, released the system requirements for the game, which aren't really anything crazy if you look at them. The minimum system specs as far as processor would be an i5 2500K or an FX 6300, 8 gigabytes of memory, and a GTX 770 or Radeon R9 280, 3 gigabyte. So you don't need a whole lot. No. As far as minimum, but the big thing is it's 150 gigs. That's a lot of space, for a game. Regardless, I 50 to 60 gigs is like kind of normal, but
it's a big open world.
Yeah. 150 gigs is a lot.
150 gigs a lot.
If you're talking about like buying a 1 terabyte hard drive for games, that's 5 games. That's it.
Yeah.
Of this size. So, as far as recommended specs, an i7 4770K or a Ryzen 5 1500X, 12 gigabytes of memory, GTX 1060, 6 gigabytes, and a RX 480, 4 gigabytes. So again, this game is a year old, so it's not going to be crazy on your hardware. I'm interested to see the mods. I know GTA 5 had like so many mods. So I'm pretty pumped to see if there's any mods for this and what people, be able to do with it. So that should be pretty cool to see. But again, it does come out November 5th, and you can get it on the launcher. It will also be available on...
it's coming to Steam later on, isn't it?
Yeah, so...
Delayed, though.
For some reason, it will be available on the Rockstar Games launcher.
Right.
Or you can get it on the Epic Games launcher, and they have the... apparently, it's not... They call it an exclusive, but it's not an exclusive because it's on the Rockstar launcher. Like you can get it there, but it's only on for the first month.
It's only on Epic.
It's only on Epic. But again, you can buy it on Rockstar. You don't have to go through Epic if you don't want to. And then it will be available on Steam after that a month later. So yeah, I might pick it up. I don't know. I really haven't had a whole lot of time for games or anything like that.
So. It feels like one I would want to play and I'd pick up and play for like the first couple days and get into it and then just realize I don't have the time to commit to it, unfortunately. But that's just my life right now.
Yeah, me too. And as we get more into the holiday season, a lot more products come in, like I'm too busy to play it. So our last little piece of news is that Microsoft has partnered with Spotify for Xbox Game Pass. If you're not familiar with Xbox Game Pass, it's a monthly subscription where you get access to games. So as long as you have the subscription, you can download and play these games. It's like Netflix for games. And they've brought it over to PC. There's 150 PC games available. Big ones are, of course, Gears of War 5 that just came out, which I'd highly recommend you guys play because it's awesome. But what they're doing now is you're going to get Spotify Premium with Game Pass. So it's $5 a month, which I don't think is a lot, but you'll get 6 months of Spotify Premium. I don't know how much Spotify Premium is. I think it's around the same price. It's like $5.
So it's for new users of Game Pass.
Yes.
Hmm.
For PC people, you should all be new because it just got out of, like, it's in beta. So it's not bad. And I think if you're already a Spotify user, you should be able to just stack this onto your current subscription. They want people on the service. They're doing this with Spotify. I think it's good. I mean, you can't complain about it.
So
like I said, if you want to check out Xbox Game Pass, it's $5 a month, over 100 titles on there, there's a lot of really good ones on there too. It's not just like arcade games and Gears of War 5. There's a lot of good stuff on there. So if you want to go ahead and check that out, definitely do it. And you'll get 6 months of Spotify Premium, which means you can skip and you can actually pick the songs. You don't have to shuffle. I go to the gym all the time and I have like an album or like a playlist I like, but I have to shuffle it. I can't pick the songs or I can't listen to it in order because it's
how you want. Yeah.
Yeah. So that brings us I can't even talk. It's the end of the night, man. Yep. That brings us to what we have coming up next week. I will be taking a look at a graphics card. I'll be taking a look at Gigabyte's GeForce RTX 2060 Super WinForce OCHG. I hate how Gigabyte has these long.
It's so long.
Basically, this is a slightly overclocked RTX 2060 Super custom cooling solution at the same price as the reference card. So basically you're getting better cooling, a slight overclock for a little bit or for the same amount of money that you would be paying for a reference. So why not pick it up? So I'll be taking a look at that. And then I'll also be taking a look at some RGB memory. The ADATA Spectrix D60G. These are like the most RGB'd out memory, if this ever loads, the most RGB out memory that I've seen. The memory is designed around RGB, so it's a full
thing. It's all across the side too, lights up?
Yeah, so this is all one big diffuser with RGB lighting. Obviously, you have it on the top as well. We have a 16 gig kit. It's DDR3200, so it should be pretty good as far as speeds and performance. And we'll see what it looks like installed and things like that. So I'm excited to take a look at that as well. But yeah, this is like the most RGB'd out DDR4 that I've ever reviewed. That's what it looks like installed. I mean, it's just completely all over the place.
That's pretty crazy.
So yeah, so definitely stay tuned next week for that. And as we come to the end of the podcast here, we talk about if we did anything tech related this week. Did you do anything cool or tech related?
Nope.
Nothing.
No, just working. I'm working on these headsets though. I've got the Corsair Virtuoso, so that'll be coming up too. Not next week, but pretty soon after. So I don't know. Nice. That's about the most tech thing I've done all week is
I
open up some new headphones and start testing them.
I built a desk today, which I'm using right now. So if you look behind me, I don't know if you guys can. I'll go this way. Oh, you really can't see it. But my old desk is back there in the corner, and I have a new desk, which didn't take me long to build. But the biggest thing with putting a new desk together and setting things up is like how I'm going to wire everything. And like I just have wires all over the ground because like you want to do the cable routing right. You want to, you know. So I spent all day doing all.
Yeah, I saw stuff. That picture. You need to wire up get those cables organized.
Yes. Yeah. I posted a picture on Facebook of what the setup looks like. And it's just, And I'm not like, I thought, so I went from like that bamboo type desk back there to an all white and I like it, but I see everything on it. Like I'm looking now and there's just like, I see like everything.
Yeah. If you get a scuff or like, I notice if I have like a case sitting on my white table and you scoot it too much and the rubber feet like leave a little mark or something.
I see everything on this desk. So I'm going to have to get used to that, but I do like it. It's wider. So before I had to have my tower on another shelf, like thingy that I had. Mm-hmm. And now my tower is on the desk. It's all one. It's all together. I don't have wires coming from that, shelving thing to my desk. It's all together, which I'm pretty
your previous one also had like a cutout in front of you.
Yeah,
right?
So that's a little weird.
I've
only been on here for a couple hours, but it is different because I'm further away from my monitor. So you know, my monitor in front of me here is a little bit further away, and I don't have the cutout. It doesn't bother me yet, but I'll have to see in the future how it's gonna go. Okay. But yeah, that is that's it for the podcast this week, guys. As I always say, you can check out the full show notes page right here, which has everything that we talked about. So if you are listening or watching over again, you can click through and check out everything that we talked about. If you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. Until next week, catch you guys later.